Folks, take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 4. Proverbs, chapter 4. We are in the middle of a study within a study, kind of. We have started on the topic of wisdom, and we've given several lessons about wisdom. Now we are in week, I believe, number 3 or number 4 on characteristics of unwise people. But let me review just for a moment here and catch you up. Wisdom is something that is desperately lacking in our world today. It is horribly absent. Wisdom is simply seeing life from God's point of view, looking at life from God's point of view. And I've said this before, say it again. The Christian life is not hard once you start looking at it from God's side and not yours. It really isn't. Say, well, all those rules, the do's, the don'ts, you're looking at them from your side, not God's. If you saw it from God's point of view, it would be a whole lot easier. You know, salvation does not make sense until you get saved. Once you get saved, it starts making sense. It makes sense to you that somebody would not pay your price for you, that you have to pay it. Guess what? Doesn't work that way. It means that somebody else paid it, and that's the only way to get there. Now, wisdom is not one of the things in life that you get one time and you have it forever. It's not like buying a stove or a refrigerator that you have it, and about every 20 years you got to get another one. Well, every 10. But it's one of those things that I liken it unto a pipe in your house or the faucet. It's one of those things that you have to keep turning it on and off to get. It's an avenue by which something flows through. It's not a commodity that you purchase. And by the way, wise people don't always use wisdom. I gave you the example of Samson and Solomon and Moses and David and Paul and others. They were wise people, but they didn't use wisdom in every aspect of their life all the time. Now, And let me jump back into this here, and I'm not going to review the first 21 points of this because we're only halfway through, and I'd like to finish by next week, so we are going to fly, all right? But we talked about characteristics of wise people, and we've spent the last 2 or 3 weeks talking about characteristics of unwise people. Let me just run through it real fast. Some of you have been taking notes, and that's fine, but unwise people hate knowledge. Unwise people do not choose the fear of God. Unwise people reject godly counsel. Unwise people destroy themselves and those around. Unwise people speak froward things. Unwise people rejoice in doing evil. Unwise people look at shame as a promotion. Unwise people do not rest until they destroy what they do not agree with. Unwise people, number 9, try to flatter you with words. Number 10, unwise people are always speaking near or about destruction. Unwise people hide hatred in lies. Number 12, unwise people see hurting others as fun. Unwise people have shortened days. Unwise people have their guard up all the time. Unwise people live for revenge. Unwise people are opportunists. Unwise people have to have their own way or no way. Unwise people must tell everything they know. Unwise people hunt people down. Unwise people destroy their own families. And number 21, unwise people have a rod of pride in their mouth. Now, those are the points that we've talked about so far. And we are going to pick up in Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 8 tonight, and keep on going here. Here we go. Proverbs 14:8. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. Proverbs 14, verse number 8. Okay. Proverbs 14:8. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. Number 22. Unwise people cover truth subtly. They cover the truth subtly. And I use the word cover, which means They hide the truth in a lie. They misrepresent truth. Unwise people will use a shred of truth to say they didn't lie. Boy, you'll find that out a lot where you work. They'll have just enough of the truth to say they told the truth, but they didn't tell all the truth. Unwise people will take a shred. By the way, probably the best illustration of this is the United States government or the United States press. They use a shred of truth to mask everything. We call it a cover-up. That's what a cover-up is. They're covering the truth with lies, but they give you just enough of the truth to where you think you have the truth, and it's not true. Truth is not their focus. What they want to say is their focus. Did you catch that? The unwise person, truth is not the issue. It's what they want to say. Can I tell you something? A wise person's interested in getting the truth out. And I don't mean to be unkind when I make this next statement. It's in no way derogatory, but it illustrates it quite well. The man that did the funeral today, I did not run the whole funeral. The family asked me, both sides of the family asked me to speak. I did not tell the man what I wanted to do. I asked him what he was doing. I was trying to be ethical. I was trying to be kind. I said, are you going to give the gospel and give an invitation for people to get saved? He said, well, I'm going to present it, but I wouldn't ask them about raising hands or anything like that. I said, I would. I'll let them get mad at me, not you then. And I wasn't mad. I said, I'll just tell them how Bobby got saved, and that'll be a good lead-in for me. I said, that's what he wanted anyway. I said, that'll be a good opportunity for me, and they won't get mad at you. I'll let them get mad at me. We might strike this one from the tape, Brother Brett, but the man cussed 6 times in the pulpit while he was giving the eulogy. I'm not kidding. Ask my wife. Cross my heart and hope Brother Ron dies. There was people going like this. I mean, it really was a little shocking. I thought, I didn't hear that. My wife said, did he just? I said, mm-hmm. I mean, it was just like, I can't believe that. And then it happened again and again and again and again and again. I'm like, man, I can't wait to get up there. Say why? What I wanted to say wasn't the issue. The truth was. The truth was the issue. It wasn't how beautiful the words were. It's the truth that's the issue. Unwise people hide behind laws, principles, rules, even Bible verses. Folks, it's amazing how many people that don't know the Bible hide behind Bible verses. You do something wrong at work and they'll say, I thought you Christians were better than that, huh? Now, wait a minute. Hang on here. Let's talk about your life for a little while, dude. Y'all know what I'm talking about? They know enough of it to hold it against you, but they don't want to live up to it. Okay. By the way, unwise people cannot stand alone. They never stand alone. They're not strong enough to stand alone. And I'll tell you why they can't stand alone, because they're not standing on truth. They always have their little groups. They always got to get aside and start chip, 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 chip a little bit. They're not strong enough to stand alone because they can't stand on truth. Oh, I better hurry up here. Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 9. The Bible says, fools make mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor. Number 23, unwise people mock sin. Mock literally means to interpret, to be an ambassador, to intercede, or to teach their way. Now, you have to understand something. It's more than making fun of. It means you interpret something the way you want it, not the way it's supposed to be interpreted. It means you're going to teach it your way and not God's way. And unwise people, look this way, unwise people will interpret the Bible, they'll interpret laws, they'll interpret rules at work, they'll interpret rules at school their way. Okay, your kids do that with you when you're growing up. Well, Dad, I didn't know you meant it that way. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Unwise people will try to take that rule and say, well, it doesn't say specifically that color, so what's wrong with that color? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Well, it didn't say that brand. You just said that, and this isn't that brand, though it's the same thing. That's called being unwise. I was very proud of one of our young ladies recently. She was out shopping. She called me. She said, "Preacher, I'm looking at something. This is what I'm looking at. And I don't know whether to buy it or not." She described what it was. And I told her, I said, "It's not wrong, but there's an association that will go with that that might be pretty bad." I said, "Can I tell you it's wrong?" "No." I said, "But anybody over the age of 40 will look at you and go, because of the association." I said, "Would I tell you not to buy it?" "No." "Is it my preference?" "No." "But is it a sin or is it wrong?" "No." By the way, I didn't ask her if she bought it or not, but she was showing wisdom in calling me. It wasn't go buy it, then ask after I've worn it 6 times whether I should do it or not. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And by the way, I didn't care what color it was anyway. I can't see it anyway. Anyway, these are the kind of people that want to appear as though they know more than the one they're destroying. When somebody tells you as a follower that they know more about what the leader is doing than the leader is doing, look out. You know, when the guy that's pushing the button on the fry machine knows more how to run the McDonald's than the guy that owns the McDonald's, something's wrong. And by the way, the guy that's pushing the button doesn't know more. He doesn't. Most of them, you get them beyond the button and they don't know what to do. It's amazing, though. They're the ones that want to expose everything. They don't want truth. They just want to expose everything. If you show them what the truth is, they'll tell you it's a lie. They just want everything exposed. Okay? Number 24, and I've got to hurry here. Unwise people have hot tempers. Look at Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 16. "A wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but a fool rageth and is confident." Now look at me. Unwise people have hot tempers. Let me say this right here. I don't believe Christians ought to be milquetoast, mamby-pamby, afraid of their shadow people. I wouldn't give you 2 cents for somebody that doesn't have a temper. Say why? Because they'll let anybody in the world walk right over top of them. But at the same time, I wouldn't give you 2 cents for a guy that can't control his temper. Everybody doing all right? It takes more power to restrain than it does to let go. You doubt what I'm saying, light a firecracker and try to keep it from igniting by holding it in your hand. It takes more power to hold that thing in than it does to let it go bang. I've watched guys put a steel cable on the front end of a locomotive or a car and put it in their mouth and pull a vehicle. You get that thing rolling 15, 20 miles an hour and have him stand out there and try to stop it once. You say, "That's stupid." Yeah, because it takes more energy to stop something than it does to get it going. Okay? The law of momentum is more powerful. Now, let me say this very carefully. Unwise people show anger and outrage with people they disagree with. You know, there are people I disagree with. They'll never know I've been upset with them. I didn't agree with the man that I shared a funeral with today. I didn't agree with what Bible he used. Guess what? When I got up, I gave the truth. By the way, I let him have his way through the whole thing, except for 5, 6, 7 minutes I spoke. During those 5 or 6 minutes, 23 folks got saved. I guess truth prevails. Did you get mad? No, I was a little bit shocked at times, but I didn't get mad. I was a little surprised at times, but I didn't get angry. Unwise people just pop off all the time. They get careless. Did you ever see one of those people. It's usually somebody you work with. I'll use work. They're ready to fight at the drop of the hat, and they don't even have a hat. They're just pulling everybody's hat off. I mean, they're just looking for a chance. They like to argue. They can't agree on anything because they just like to fight. And by the way, because they attack right, they become their own standard of right and get carelessly bold. They think they are truly right, and then they get arrogant in their right, and no matter what you show them, you're wrong, they're right. Oh, my soul. I've been out soul winning and talked with people, and they'll say, well, this little lady today, God bless her, little Seventh-day Adventist lady at the funeral. She was glad that her grandson got saved, and she's glad her son got saved, but she doesn't want nothing to do with the gospel. Gospel started, buddy, she turned it off. Now, she didn't like the other guy, but she didn't like me telling the gospel either. Say, what was that? It's her way or no way. And it showed a lack of wisdom. Now, by the way, unwise people, listen to this statement. Everybody look very carefully here. These are the kind of people that try to intimidate you. They use their temper as intimidation. I'm good at getting yelled at. I've been yelled at by more people than you can imagine in my life. Say, what do? I love getting right in their face. Say, are you done? Very controlled. Say, what happens? You can knock the props right out from underneath them. You know, people that have to blow their chest up and act like a strutting turkey and gobble, gobble, gobble and yell and scream and holler and swing and rant and rave and spit and snot and snort and throw things, all you got to do is get in their face. They'll back down. Say why? They're intimidators. They think they can push you and intimidate you to doing what they know that they believe is the only thing and the only right. Folks, I'm not going to push anybody. I'm not going to intimidate anybody. I'll get up and preach the truth, like it or lump it. If that offends you, tough. If my attitude offends you, we'll work on my attitude. But if my position offends you, you're not moving me. I won't do it unkindly, usually. Say, why? Because I have to stand for the truth. But at the same time, I don't have to do it in a bad way. I better hurry here. Proverbs chapter 15, verse number 2. Just a few verses later here. Proverbs 15, 2, number 25. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright. Watch this. But the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. I'm probably going to get in trouble for my illustration on this one. Here's my principle. The unwise have potty mouth. The Bible says that their mouth poureth out foolishness. Foolishness. It literally means to gush or overflow, to emit a foul or odor, or to belch out. That is what the word poureth out, that little term, means. Unwise people just start belching out words, topics, statements, hurtful things, nasty things, nasty smelling things, and all those things are spewed out of their mouth. That's what unwise people do. Wise people think about it before they open their mouth. Unwise people are rude. You know, belching in public is not an appropriate thing to do. I realize from time to time with teenagers or kids, you have a little contest or something, and I understand that, and it has, I think, a good place, but in general, it's not the wise thing to do. Have you ever been at a restaurant, and all of a sudden, some little kid just lets one fly? What's everybody do? Now, part of you wants to laugh, and the other part of you, you know, if they've got good parents, they're thinking, oh, man, you know, we've all been there. I know, as my boys used to say, but Dad, in Asian cultures, that means it's a compliment to the cook. And my wife would say, you're not in Asia, but I could send you there real quick. Now, wait a minute. Unwise people are rude. They belch out by exposing negative, whether they should or shouldn't. And by the way, negative doesn't need exposed no matter what. Did you catch that? I don't care if it's truth. Negative doesn't need exposed. The mouth of the unwise person, here's where I'm going to get in trouble, is like a clogged commode. The stink and the waste makes it overflow. And by the way, even after you get it cleaned up, it probably still has an odor that hangs around. That's what that term literally means in Proverbs chapter 15, verse number 2. The mouth of unwise people, you don't even want to be around them. You know, if you've never met a real reporter, most of them are not worth talking to. Most of those people are some of the vilest, weird, wicked people you'll ever meet. Say why? Because they're constantly taking a slant on truth, and they're looking for the negative. All right, now I've got to hurry here. Number 26, look at Proverbs 15, verse number 6. In the house of the righteous is much treasure, but in the revenue of the wicked is trouble. Number 26, unwise people have constant money problems. Now, everybody listen to me. If you are having money problems right now, that does not mean that you're an unwise person. But if you've lived the last 20 or 30 years of your life and have never had a positive cycle, you might want to look at it. Finances are like everything else in life. They ebb and flow. Okay? You say, yeah, mine have flown and they've never ebbed back. But you'll have good and bad times. By the way, that's what an economy is based on. People want to get upset and... Of course, we've rewritten history to where we don't know what history really says. The stock market crash of 1929, what we call the Great Depression, was a result of too much money in the system. The Roaring Twenties. We loaned money during World War I to both sides of people in Europe. Then we won the war. Then they started paying back for everything that they owed us before the war. And they also bought all of their supplies to rebuild their countries from our country, and everything started just exploding economically here in America. People then began buying on credit. Why? Because they had so much money that they could afford to pay it back. And when you buy too much on credit, and all of a sudden, the bubble's got to break sometime. And it broke. By the way, it's happened 14 times since then, worse. We just keep going in more debt to cover it. That's why America is almost $18 trillion in debt right now. Everybody doing okay? All right. Here we go. Unwise people blame their bad finances on everybody else. Well, it's the bank's fault. It's my work's fault. I didn't get a big enough raise this year. Well, why did you spend more than you had? Well, it's this fault. It's that fault. It's amazing how, and often it's the person they're attacking, it's their fault. It's always amazing to me how it's somebody else's fault, but they're the ones with the checkbook. You know, there are two checkbooks I help control. Mine and the church's. And I don't do all of the churches by myself, just so you know. Everybody doing all right? Everybody out there? All right. Here we go. The unwise person spends without worrying about how to pay for. They want everyone else to cut spending so that they can keep spending. That's called the federal government. Oh, everybody's got to tighten our belts. What happened to the federal government tightening their belt? Folks, listen to this statement. We better not throw the rich people under the bus. I never saw a poor man hire anybody. Poor people don't employ anybody. They work for people who have money. Everybody doing okay? Quit believing everything you hear in the press. Okay, got to go on. Number 27. Look at Proverbs 15, verse number 14. The Bible says, "The heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of fools," watch this, "feedeth on foolishness." Unwise people allow emotionalism to feed their conversations. They allow emotionalism to control and to be the topic of their conversations. Unwise people are the people that you work with that go to, they know that they can get this person stirred up by telling them something that somebody else did that's supposed to be your job. Whether they did it or not, they just like seeing them get wound up. Now you've just involved emotion into your conversation. Then they go to this person and get them wound up emotionally, get this person wound up emotionally. And by the way, they might even be a little depressed themselves, and they start talking about things they're depressed about to get other people depressed with them so they can have a dual pity party. You know, the worst thing you can do is go home and talk bad at home. Some of you all don't believe this, but you'll find out it's true. My wife finds things out at church that happen at church when you find out because I don't take them home. She's not my assistant pastor. She's my wife. Somebody asked her the other day, "Did you hear?" She said, "No." They said, "You didn't?" "Nope, my husband didn't tell me." They were almost upset I hadn't told her. It's none of her business. If she needed to be told, I'd tell her. Say why? Because when I go home, I need her to encourage me. I don't need to unload on her. Why do you want to unload on the one that can load you back up? You start unloading that truck, there's nothing left. I don't talk about it. I really don't. Now, we had a good time driving up to, well, it wasn't a good time driving in all that rain today. But we had a good time together, watching what God did at the funeral and come back and enjoyed it. Great, no problem. She has no idea what went on in the office. The next 3.5 hours I was back in the office and the phone calls and this problem that I dealt with all afternoon. You say, why? Because it's none of her business. That's my job, not her job. Everybody doing all right? Man, that's a fun way to live, just so you know. Yes. I don't have to go home and say, it's just so bad and it's so hard. And, you know, that's a good way to depress the preacher's wife. I need her strong. Keep me going. So I don't kill some. I mean, things can go on. You know, they know how to push the emotional buttons. They know how to hurt people. They know how to get people angry. They know how to get people enraged. And they feed on that. And I'll say it this way. They get upset when the real truth is exposed and they're found out the liar. That's when they really get mad. When you go to the boss and say, "We're having problems, boss. If you'll just watch this area over here, I think you'll figure out what the problem is." It's amazing what takes place. You don't even have to mention who. They'll figure it out. They're smart enough to put the pieces back together. Okay, I better move on here because I want to get through a couple of more before tonight's over. Proverbs chapter 17. Let's move to verse 4. Proverbs 17, verse number 4. "A wicked doer giveth heed to false lips, and a liar giveth ear to a naughty tongue." Ooh. Unwise people listen to and talk about, I call it, false truth, untruth, negative truth. Unwise people not only talk about, but listen to this, they'll listen to it. Some of you have potty ear, but not potty mouth. You got a barf bag on the side of your head called your ear. You let everybody that or just one or two people barf in your ear constantly. You'll let them tell you all the negative things. You say, you're gross. Okay, but maybe you'll get the truth. The Bible says that you're not supposed to not only talk about it, but you're not even supposed to listen to it. Do you know if you don't listen to it, they don't have anybody to talk to? I was talking to a preacher here just a couple weeks ago. And he started down a track and I said, hold it, hold it. I said, are you going? He said, well, I was going. I said, not in my presence. I said, we're not going to do that. But I said, I'll hang up right now. I said, I love you, but we're not going down that road. I said, just shut your mouth. I said, that's an area you and I are going to disagree about. Let's not talk about it. Just end it right there. We talked for a couple more minutes, and it's amazing how fast the conversation was done. Say why? Because I wasn't going to listen to it. I refused to listen to that kind of stuff. By the way, I don't listen to other pastors talk bad about their church members. I had a man call me. I said, you calling to complain about your church members or wanting help on how to help them? He said, was I complaining? I said, mm-hmm. He said, can I call you back in 30 minutes? I said, sure. Called me back. He said, took me 30 minutes to get right with the Lord. He said, I was wrong. He said, I need to apologize. He said, I do need help. I said, good. I said, let's go. I said, I'm not going to listen. He said, Brother Bush, he said, thanks. He said, you just taught me something. I said, good. I said, I'm not going to talk bad about my people to you, nor am I going to listen to you talk bad about yours. I said, they're sinners, just like you and me. Don't worry about it. Let's go on. Everybody doing okay? Unwise people listen and believe whatever somebody says. Most people have that one person, no matter what they say, they believe it. And I'm here to tell you, everybody can tell you something that's not true. The news, the internet, some of you believe whatever you read on the internet.
Yes, sir.
God bless you. Some of you, whatever the news says, you believe it. Oh, the world will be out of drinking water in the next 10 years. By 2025, there will be not enough drinking water for all the people in the world. Guess what? There's not one more nor one less drop of water than there was 6,000 years ago. Not one less. And we need the salt water to purify the drinking water. Well, let's desalinate water so everybody has clean drinking water. How did they make it for the last 6,000 years without them? Obviously, man has figured it out. Everybody doing okay? All right, moving on. Evil destroyers look for people who they can get to help them spread their negative. They test out people to see if they'll be a good negative carrier. You say, how do they test that out to see if you'll listen to it? If you'll listen to it, you'll carry it.
Yes, sir.
If you'll listen to it, you'll carry it. Okay? Moving on. Number 29. Proverbs chapter 17, verse number 11. Everybody smile. Take a deep breath. Okay, here we go. Proverbs chapter 17, verse number 11. An evil man seeketh only rebellion. Therefore, a cruel messenger shall be sent against him. Unwise people seek rebellion. Notice the word only. It says, an evil man seeketh only rebellion. This means they dedicate their life to bitterness and rebellion. Now, they're consumed with rebelling. I'm going to make a statement here. Rebellion does not mean they disagree with you. Do you know there are some things that are right to rebel against? It's right to rebel against wrong. It's right to rebel against injustice. It's right to rebel against sin. If you don't, you're going to falter and submit to those things. Should you rebel against authority? Wait a minute. If there was no rebellion, we have no United States of America. We rebelled against misjustice, not authority. Parents, can I help you with something? I realize Proverbs chapter 6, verse number 1 is in the Bible. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Verse 3 is also in the Bible. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath.
Yes, sir.
Some of you are blaming your children for being rebellious when you have provoked them to evil. And you have provoked them to rebellion. They're not rebelling against you in your authority. They're rebelling against the misjustice. Everybody doing okay? When you deal with that in the classroom, you have to be careful that you're not punishing everybody for the sins of one. I've had teachers I've taught elementary, high school, college. I've taught Sunday school. I've taught adults. I've taught senior citizens. Can I tell you something? It's never right to punish everybody because one person did wrong. If Jim Tuning runs a stoplight or gets pulled over for speeding, should everybody else in the room get a speeding ticket because we were at church together? You say, that's stupid, Brother Bush. Then why should everybody in a classroom get punished because one did something wrong? I'm just not for that. I don't see it. I don't think you punish all your kids because one did something wrong. Now, if they're withholding the truth and not telling you who did it, and they honestly know, then you have a lying issue. That's not punishing all for the sins of one. They have their own sin to deal with then. Everybody doing all right? Okay, here we go. Man, I'm having fun. Unwise people get consumed with rebellion, though. They get arrogant against all authority. You know, they're not afraid to talk bad about the boss. They're not afraid to talk bad about the owners. They're not afraid to talk about all negative authority. They'll rip on their wife. They'll rip on their husband. They'll rip on their children. Talk about how dirty, wicked, rotten, filthy they are and this, that, and the other. You know, those kind of people I don't spend any time with. Say why? They're unwise. They're fools. By the way, God says because they have destroyed others, there's a law of sowing and reaping. And that cruelty will come back to them. The Bible says, an evil man seeketh only rebellion. Therefore, a cruel messenger shall be sent against him. You know, you don't have to wish evil upon an evil person. It'll come back to him. It'll come back to him. You don't have to do it. Let God take care of it. Okay? Proverbs chapter 17, verse number 23. I might get through one or two more here. Proverbs chapter 17, verse number 23, a wicked man taketh a gift out of the bosom to pervert the ways of judgment. Number 30, unwise people use gifts to mislead people. Unwise people use gifts to mislead people. In the political world, people will give gifts to buy votes. People will give gifts to, you give me enough money, I'll get you a position of authority. Okay? And by the way, I'm not for that. I think they ought to put the wisest person in position, not the guy with the bucks that bought the position. But if you give, or if you receive gifts in order to do something, you can go to jail over it. Now, wait a minute. It's called a bribe. Now, everybody listen to me very carefully here. I realize we live in a different world. Some of you have divorced situations and you have step-parents and you back and forth with one or the other. If you're not careful, you'll try to buy your child's affection. I've watched parents who aren't divorced try to buy their children's affection.
Right.
Your kids don't spell love M-O-N-E-Y, they spell it T-I-M-E. They'd rather have you than your things.
Yes.
Now, they need their needs met, yes. I think they need clothes. I think they need food. They need a place to live. They need water and all those types of things. Yes, they do. But they need you more than they need your things. Okay? Unwise people try to obligate people to their cause by giving them gifts, position, power, and prestige. They'll give you enough things to try to obligate you to make you do what they want you to do. They'll give you so many things you feel like in order to be nice, you got to follow through with them. Folks, no strings attached. Amen? By the way, is this not what Satan tried to do with Jesus at the Mount of Temptation? Turn those stones to bread. Come up to this pinnacle and look, and I'll give you all the power that you see. I'll give you the authority. He was trying to bribe the Son of God with power and prestige and gifts. Say, what was that? Unwise. They cover up the corruption with gifts, and they just call it redecorating. They get people in power who have their opinion. You know, I think you ought to choose a judge based on their ability to be just, not whether they're going to lean your direction or not. You know, you'll fight for justice as long as you get what you want. But when the justice goes against you, you call it unjust. I want justice whether it helps me or not. Justice is more important than whether I get what I want. Boy, that's a good statement. Let me finish with the next one here so I can finish up next week. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 24. Wisdom is before him that hath understanding, but the eyes of a fool are in the ends of the earth. Now, this one might surprise you. Unwise people have a network. They have a network. The Bible uses the term, they have eyes in the ends of the earth. Say, what does that mean? They have contacts all over. Now, I have friends all over the country. But may I say this, it's not an evil network. It's amazing to me. Good can be done, few people find out about it. You let one negative thing take place, and all the churches in America knows what happened. Right. Say, what is that? An evil network.
Yes.
23 people saved at one funeral today. How many churches in America will find out about that? You let one person do something stupid in our church, and I'll promise you, 150 churches by tomorrow morning will know about it. Everybody doing okay?
Yeah.
It's called an evil network.
Right.
They support each other's evil. I'm just going to say it. I don't call a bunch of preachers on Monday morning and complain about what happened on Sunday. I don't. Now, between about 5 and 6 or 6:15 on Sunday morning, I'll text about 8, 9, 10, 12 different pastors all over the country, try to encourage them for Sunday morning so they hit their pulpit with a little bit of love and encouragement, a little bit of oomph, and they know somebody else is praying for them. But we don't call each other on Monday and talk about how bad things were. My phone goes crazy on Sundays and Mondays now from all those guys of us that we started texting each other, talking about, we had this many saved, and God gave us this, and I had this victory, and had this happen. Man, it's like a praise time. Now, I'll take that any day. That's not a network of evil. Everybody doing okay? By the way, they'll try to bring information up from all over the country and all over the world to support their view. Well, I know this person out in California who did this, and I know this person up in this state. And I know. Hang on. What does that have to do with our local church?
Right. Amen.
Nothing. Yeah, I know a lot of people too. I know a lot of things that happen in a lot of places, but it doesn't matter. We're here.
Yes.
We're here. Say, what are you going to do? We're going to reach everybody we can. We're going to give them the gospel, watch God change their life. I'll be honest with you. God touched my heart today. God moved. I led one man to Christ because of the love of one of our men and for their co-worker, and could not believe the impact. I've been soul winning a long time. Brother Logue, that's the first time I preached a funeral for one of my converts that had a 3x5 card that when I won him to Christ, it was sitting in the casket with him. I heard his daddy, my dad sitting back there, he knows. He heard this standing over the young man's body less than 12 hours before he died saying, I remember when Bobby was saying, no, it shall be saved, shall be saved, shall be saved. He said, almost got mad at you, preacher. I said, yeah. He said, he was getting almost indignant. I said, that's what I wanted. He knows it. Can I tell you something? We don't know who we're winning to Christ. If I had told Brother Jimmy all that truck driver, he wouldn't get saved. Somebody else. Jimmy, you can do it. Jimmy didn't feel comfortable. Okay, let's go. You go with me. They got a couple big dogs, man. You can be the bait, not me. I can run faster than Jimmy. I might not run farther, but I can run faster, amen? I don't have to run farther at that point in time, just a little quicker. Say, how much faster? One step's enough. Wait a minute. Folks, let's talk about good, not bad. Let's choose not to listen to the bad. Let's listen to the good. Characteristics of unwise people. Hopefully next week we'll finish it up. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Maybe one of these areas has hit you. By the way, none of us are totally wise all the time. None of us. All of us are guilty of one or many of these things. Maybe you're hanging around people that are this way. Maybe you just need to pray with yourself or with your family to stay away from these things.